You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Early morning, Saturday. Birds are calling out my name and they're telling me to leave my bed. Drink a coffee for my head. Cereal and radio. Mr. Sun saying hello and I pick some clothes from my wardrobe. Get the bike from out the shed. Let the wheels go round and round. I'm pulling up at your house and I say no. Come and take a ride with me.
And good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio Show on 3CR, Radical Radio, broadcasting from Naram, Melbourne, Australia. We're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris and Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio. We're a show about bikes, cycling, urban mobility, getting around without a combustion engine, adventures, advocacy and all sorts of things. On today's show, I'm going to be doing a recap of a forum that was held last Thursday night down at Elizabeth Street, and it was to do with, you know, bikes, housing, and what's going to be happening in the next 10 to 20 years in that area. Now, there was a whole range of speakers, and as you would acknowledge that this is a 28-minute program, so what I've done is honed in on two presentations, and hopefully we'll be able to get a transcript or the full audio up later. Just to bear in mind too, this is a live recording, so it might just take your ears about a minute or two just to adjust. It is audible. It's just, you know, you got to deal with a little bit of fuzz in the background. Okay, I'll have that after a few announcements. Now, you've probably been well aware, or if you're not, if you're aware of the e-bike issues that we have across Australia. Now, currently, Engage Victoria. I have a Engage thing out about, you know, public submissions into conduct on public transport and the rest of it. And part of that is a possible curtailment, exclusion and or ban of e-bikes. Now, Val and Faith with Dr. Elliot Fishman discussed that last week about, you know, well, a lot of things, including overreach. But remember, it's the 18th of August is the last thing to get that in, so it's probably just a week off to make your submissions at Engage Victoria. And also, Bicycle Network have got a page up about how to make a submission. We've got a page up at yarrabug.org, and then we've correlated what other people have said as well. If you've got something, send it to us on the contact page. A lot of groups are working across this issue at the moment because it's a huge thing to do with mobility. I never thought, like, you know, in the last 5-10 years I'd be talking about e-bikes so much, but it seems to be really filling the space. And, yeah, it's a very big issue. Another thing that, on a really bright note, you might remember over the last little while, I think I've had Zazani and, oh my God, my brain's just got dropped out. It's Monday morning. But two birders, two bikes, one school. Brilliant news. They've finally funded the school in Timor-Leste. If you go to the social media platform known as Instagram and look up Two Birders, Two Bikes, One School, all the photos, all the news, it's just fabulous seeing something go to completion. They rode around Australia with the goal of funding the school, also being massive birdos, and over, bird spotting over 700 birds. It's just incredible. I'm lucky to see around about 20 to 25 where I am. But then again, I'm in an urban spot where, you know, things have been messed around with. But just incredible goals when people set themselves a thing. We're going to go do it, and we're going to mix it up with the thing that we love, bird watching, and getting education for young people in Timor-Leste. Bang. It worked. Just absolutely amazing stuff. Probably have a lot more to speak about, but again, as I have said a few times over the years, it's Monday morning, I've had one coffee, and I am kind of running on the probably muscle memory, to be quite honest with you. So anyway, after the break, I'm going to listen to a recap of a forum that was held down in Richmond North. And this, just to bring it into context, it's to do with the long-running saga of Elizabeth Street and adjacent issues. Now, the interesting thing is tomorrow night, which is at this time of broadcast, the 12th of August, we are seeing another iteration of Elizabeth Street options of what they want to do with the narrowing, because there was, you know, we had that meeting back in April, which was informative and sometimes inadvertently amusing, but not really amusing from Ian's standpoint of want to narrow this because of we're not going to follow the process. Now, possibly that, and we've discussed it on the show a bit, had an FOI done to find out what the plans would have been if we hadn't had this, you know, kind of interruption to the process. And yeah, they were really good plans. So this is going to be voted on again. And going through the council agenda, there are real liabilities for council if they follow this. And also, it's a process that has not run its course. It's still a long way to run in terms of, you know, okay, they may have the funding to do it for $200,000, but you still have to get permission from Department of Transport and Planning in some way. It's got a long way to run. And this is the thing I find very annoying about the whole process is you get out of Elizabeth Street and you see that temporary infrastructure. It's been there for 5 years and it's starting to look pretty shabby. It's looked pretty shabby for a long time, and we could have had a different process and a better outcome. And yeah, a whole bunch of things that could have flowed a lot better. There's some, I'll use the cliche, some teachable moments about this. So, yeah, stay tuned for what I'm going to play after the announcement. And, yeah, if you've got time, go and have a read of the agenda for Yarra Council's meeting tomorrow night for the first item, or second item, is it? For Elizabeth Street. Okay? So, after the break, I think I'm repeating myself, it's just a recap of the North Richmond Forum from Thursday night.
Capitalism's inherent barbarism is on full display, from the genocide in Gaza and the rise of the far right, to growing militarism and the climate crisis.
We need to radically change the way society is organised.
Join us for the upcoming Eco-Socialism 2025 conference, Eco-Socialism, Not Barbarism, held on September 5th to the 7th at the Balam Place in Brunswick.
We will be bringing together activists from across the Indo-Pacific, sharing experiences to resist capitalism's drive to barbarism and build the mass movements that we need.
Anyone who wants to be part of the discussion on how we can build a left-wing alternative is welcome to attend.
Featuring international guests from the United States, Pakistan, India, Malaysia, and Brazil, along with local campaigners.
Organised by Green Left and Socialist Alliance. Find out more by going to ecosocialism.org.au.
Green Left is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome on a Thursday evening. It's always wonderful when people give up their time on a, you know, a chilly Thursday evening to come out and attend community events like this. So welcome. My name is Andrea Cook. I am not one of the organizers, but I've been corralled into being your MC tonight, your kind of facilitator, by the organizers, who are Karen and Jeremy and Allison and associated other people in their orbits. So thank you to them for organizing tonight. Before I go any further, I'd just like to acknowledge that we're meeting on Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past and present. I'll just tell you a little bit about the format for tonight. So the format is, we'll have three presentations, if you like, talking about different aspects of our theme: people, bikes, cars, and housing. There'll be a chance after each speaker for questions. I will ask that you kind of keep your questions to the topic that the person has spoke on, and we'll also have a chance towards the end to hear from some other people who've flagged an interest in this topic and just want to speak to it, as well as a kind of more general Q&A. Our next speaker is our esteemed organizer, Karen Hovenga. She is a member of the North Richmond Precinct Community Committee, and so many of you who are also members of that committee will know her from that, but also from her role, an active community member, and someone who is very active at Belgium Mountain Union of Interests and so on. Karen's going to be speaking about housing.
Isn't able to tell us what's likely to be happening on this estate in the next little while. So the only sort of information that we have to go on is this draft master plan. It was produced in 2022. We got stuck at this draft phase. You can actually still download the summary document online, and if you want the full one, I've also got a copy. Because I wanted to talk about what's likely to be happening in this local area around housing, and the only things we know about are around this stuff. So this is obviously our advertising picture that we use for tonight. It's directly from that draft master plan. One of the really big things is that in 20 or 30 years' time, currently we won't have these towers at all. But what we can see is a lot of social housing or the larger buildings along the Anne Lennox Street, double stacked, so all the way back to the back of, and you can see that they've included the bike lanes in there. This is all still shown as low rise. So obviously this master plan is only for the housing estate. This was sort of the whole area that we're talking about. And they were talking about dividing this area from Victoria Street effectively across to Hyatt Street, and from Lennox Street here across to Church Street, leaving out this industrial and housing area in there. We now know that this tower here is currently having people moved out of it, moved into alternative accommodation, so that can be demolished, so they'll all be out of there, I think, by February, is the dates that I've been told so far for that. And obviously this is the school is here, so there was talk of housing and community and health, so community buildings, etc. Along Lennox Street, and then more housing, and along Elizabeth Street, particularly picking up this pedestrian excuse sort of a space on Elizabeth Street. What I really wanted to focus on was not necessarily those things, but just this quick square around Elizabeth, directly impacting Elizabeth Street. What you see from this is how close the train station is. Obviously, Church Street has a tram, Victoria Street has a tram, Bridge Road has a tram. I think that, you know, there's six buses off on the street. This would have to be one of the best places in Melbourne for public transport, unless you're living next door to Richmond Station or something.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
What about this network of open spaces? Providing safe, direct and activated footpaths, so having a lot of people, providing slow streets through the site, so they've actually got streets coming through here, to get through Lennox Street from Elizabeth Street, but making sure that those are very green promenades and an awful lot of trees along Elizabeth Street there. They talked about a site-wide approach to car parking, which I'll go into a bit further later on. So they're more than just movement corridors for vehicles. They're places where you can meet your neighbour, enjoy a coffee, or with Elizabeth and Victoria Street, celebrate culture. It's also about giving pedestrians and cyclists convenient access through each of the areas and creating appealing places close to home. And in particular, promoting healthier lifestyles by encouraging active travel. So I think that's a real focus for this. And obviously, I've picked out some of that as well. In terms of the pedestrian and cycling planning from this master plan, it specifically talks around zebra crossings across Elizabeth Street to make sure that people can get through. That orange one right up the top there is an existing backway onto Victoria Street that's quite frequently used. There was also discussion about having a second one, so getting better access onto Victoria Street from this area around Elizabeth Street. The master plan included discussion about cycling paths along Elizabeth Street, along Lennox Street, Hyatt Street and Church Street, all of those three, but also people moving through the site. And certainly I see that now. This is the east-west path that's just across from it that's currently in use. And I regularly see bike riders coming through because it's a great way to get across to Yarra Primary School from the estate. And then access and parking. So this is what they saw as what the likely issues around parking in the area might be in the future. Safe and secure parking, prioritising convenience of residents, but also understanding that we're in an area with great public transport. So they envisaged that the west car park would the east car park would stay, and that might actually become a car park that's available to other residents and available to people visiting from elsewhere. So not just a resident car park, but that all of the additional buildings that they were proposing would have their own car parking facilities provided. So that you would effectively distribute this west car park into those buildings. So all of those hatched are basements okay. And then that's the multi-deck.
Yeah, okay.
So that's each of those would have. Of course, all of the buildings would also have bike parking, and talking about secure facilities for bike parking, which I think is a really important part of the provision. And certainly one of my goals in the future is to find ways that we can provide more secure bike parking on the hazards. And that there would be bicycle facilities available. So car parking access from some of these local streets that they proposed would be going through the estate, but also that the car parks would not necessarily always be car parks. So one of the things I've learnt in talking about master plans with architects is there's some belief that we won't actually be using as many cars as we do now, and that we'll find that car parking is not as useful as we think it is now, and that it's a bit of a waste to be using a car parking space. Having a car parking space that's empty, and that we should be planning for the future and a future where we can use that space for something else.
Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Actually, an excellent segue into our final presenter, who's Jeremy Lawrence with Streets Alive Yarra, and he will be talking about bike lanes.
Thanks to Yarra Bug for this speak. So this presentation is going to show you my vision of what I'm calling two alternate plans, two leading designs that we can look at for Elizabeth Street. As an introduction, why do we want to improve bike lanes? And in the literature, there's all sorts of reasons you've got. Freedom for people to move around safely. Equality, so giving people who can't drive, who don't have access to a car, some type of equal right to get around. Social justice, there's people on low incomes who might only be able to afford a bike. Health, you know, so if we are able to reduce the pollution compared with the alternative, and just allow people to integrate a little bit of exercise, gentle exercise, into their daily lives, that's a benefit. We pay less in the trauma care and health care. Well, children's mobility, so kids obviously can't drive. Or climate change, but what I'm trying to accentuate here is simple practicality. So we're a growing city, a booming city. If you look at IKEA, around there's apartment towers about all over. So imagine 10 or 20,000 more people just up that end of Victoria Street. And a lot of them will wish to get into the city hall, but I'll think a lot. And if the roads are already congested, so we've got, you know, 100,000 people living in Yarra, most people drive, just a simple reality, and if we think that the roads are congested, then what's it going to be like when we've got 180,000 people in 2050? That's like 25 years away. So I'm over 50, so I used to look forward to the year 2000, but we're closer to the year 2050 than we are to the year 2000 now. So it's not that far away. A key reason for a functioning city is to invest in the infrastructure so we don't suffer under severe congestion and gridlock. And what we've got here is two sets of plans for Elizabeth Street, two options that we can look at in detail. This is the narrow proposal, which is just released today in the agenda for the council to look at, and that'll be looked at on Tuesday night. And we've got what I call the officer option that we contained under freedom of information. Not be able to go through everything, but I'm happy to talk in all sorts of details after. I'm just going to highlight a few bits on these next few slides. This is a basic layout, just to give you an overview. This is the narrowed one, right? So we've got the 1.5 metre wide bike lanes between Hoddle and Lennox, and we've got parking on both sides. And this is the alternate, where we've got a range of differences. So first of all, we've got wider bike lanes, of course. We've got wider buffers between the bike lane and the traffic. We've got wider vehicle lanes, and we've got an increased buffer between the parked car and the moving car, which is helpful for people when they're opening their car to really get out. And we've got more trees, and that's because if you've got an adequately wide buffer, you've got enough space to plant or to excavate underneath for the tree root. You need enough there to have these mature trees. And without concentrating all the time on the bike features, I'd like to talk a little bit about these driving features a little bit more. This is a screenshot from FOI plans. Having parking just on one side, it really opens up these opportunities for drivers. So the driving lanes are 3 metres wide instead of 2.85. So that's a little bit of a difference there. 3 metres is what we typically have as the minimum on driving lanes. So this would be coming down to 2.85 would be what I would call, as an engineer, you need a special exemption from your roads to do that. But it also means that you've got this painted buffer between the vehicle lane and the park lane. And that's like a visual indicator for someone driving. They just sort of keep a little bit further away, which helps the people who are waiting in their car, looking out when it's safe to open their car door. The FOI plans also offer parking on both sides of the street. So obviously it's not both sides of the street at the same point in time, it's alternating. So this picture isn't Elizabeth Street, this is what I've taken from another council meeting in another state, and it's on our website. that's just a more legible picture to get the idea. So you can see there's a batch of parking on one side, a batch of parking on the other side. And not only does it offer access for drivers to both sides of the street, it also makes a very gentle chicane that slightly slows down drivers, just nudges them, encourages them to drive a little bit slower. So you don't see a straight lane in front of you.
Hi, I'm Mo Louie, and you're listening to 3CR 855 AM Radical Radio on digital and streaming live on 3cr.org.au.
And this is from the FOI plans, just showing parking on the north side between Jonah Street and Shelley Street. So all the businesses and organisations there then have the parking readily available on that side of the street. This is a screenshot from the agenda, so you can download that from the council website. This is from the road safety audit. So council commissioned an external contractor, auditors, to look at some of the consequences of narrowing the lanes. And I've just picked out one aspect of, you know, it's a 20-page safety audit. And we've drawn a red line showing how much narrower the lane's going to be. So then cyclists are really constricted into this area here, which they don't think is very safe. Best practice, in my view, when you're looking at a bike lane width, is not to include the gunner. So that's not included in Europe. Here we have a formal definition that's measuring to the vertical face, but this often collects debris, and so people don't ride in the gutter, right? They ride in this section of asphalt. So it is, in effect, significantly narrower than 1.5 metres. And then that opens up the discussion of, well, why should bike lanes be, really? A variety of guides from all around the world. There's guides from New South Wales, from South Australia, Tasmania, that all have 2 metres. There's the City of Melbourne Bike Lane Design Guide, which has an absolute minimum of 1.8. 2 to 2.2. And we have AusRoads. So this is a collaboration of all the roads agencies from states and territories across Australia. And that's the guide to road design. These are like 80-page documents going into detail of all sorts of angles and measurements and dimensions. And I've picked out protected bike lanes. So there's a section, you know, 2 pages, 3 pages long on protected bike lanes. And it says a minimum of 2 meters. And also a buffer, of course, of 1 meter, which is to protect against the rapid opening of the car door that you don't quite see in time. And this is, of course, based on learnings and evidence. If you provide an infrastructure of a certain width, you get a certain number of riders, a certain behaviour change. And if you provide it another width, you get a completely different set of behaviour. So 2 meters works. So you get people feel comfortable. You can ride side by side, a parent with a child, taking them to school. You can have groups of school children meeting and riding to school because it's a fun activity. You can have a cargo bike, so with a box at the front, fitting, and even a faster rider overtaking a cargo bike. And you can do all that in that width. There's also other details, and I'll just pick this like a second last slide. This is just to show one example of the detailed thought that the officers have put in the FOI plans compared with the plans we see on Tuesday night. And this is protecting the bike lane all the way up to the intersection. So this is what's in the plans of Tuesday. You can see cyclists come along here, and the bike lane is in between two vehicle lanes. So obviously drivers who wish to turn left, they have to cross over. This is a classic design failure. This is unsafe by design in engineering literature. Whereas what the officers are proposing in the FOI designs is it's maintaining this curb, this protection up to the intersection. We know from evidence all around the world, it just makes people feel a lot safer. People make decisions of what mode to use, typically on what's the worst bit of the journey. So if you have to get to your house to work, you might test it out a few times with a friend, but there's always going to be that one short stretch or that one intersection which is really a little bit hairy, and people say, well, you know, it's 80% there, but I'm not going to do it. hardening up or protecting the lanes or whatever the sections that you want to do. As I said before, there's pages and pages of details to go through, and I'm happy to talk about that or answer any questions. Thank you.
That was Precy of the North Richmond Forum that was born last Thursday night to do with housing, bikes and changes in that area in the last next 10 to 20 years. Now, there was a fascinating slide in that of showing what, you know, the narrowed bike paths were going to do in terms of the lanes, which is still a temporary design. Okay, think of a flat top speed hump. Okay, the line, narrowed, puts you right on the edge of that. So you're basically riding, you will be riding in an extreme camber into the gutter if this goes ahead of one of those four options. It's pretty amazing stuff when people go, yes, we're going to be do this regardless of whatever design practicalities already exist, as Jeremy was outlining there. So tomorrow night, at Yarra Council. Anyway, thank you for listening today. The podcast should be up shortly at 3cr.org.au. We're all volunteers here as presenters, and make sure that you subscribe, donate, or look up the fundraiser options and to keep this wonderful station on air. Up next, I believe we've got some things we're going to listen to, and then there's Black Block.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.